Hey, Gary, this is Mike Reese with ESPNBoston.com. Thanks for taking the time today. Question would be, how would you characterize the status of Jonathan Joseph for Monday's game, and what is your level of concern with the cornerbacks that you have, with Wes Welker specifically, and the damage he does in the slot?
Well, I mean, we've been hit at a couple of positions physically. First off, I'll start with Jonathan. He has benefited from the fact that we had an extra day here, not playing last week. He did work out on Monday, and he will be involved in practice today, probably on a limited basis. So, I mean, we're heading in the right direction, but he's definitely better. Losing Bryce McCain and having Alan Ball with a sore foot, we've made a move and signed Stanford Rout, who's had some experience in this league. So, trying to work through those things, that's part of this business. As far as what we're facing, obviously Wes is a tremendous player. I got a lot of respect for him, how he does his job, how he plays the game, and we're going against a tremendous passing game. So, we got big-time challenges, but, we got to have some young guys step to the plate. And this time of year, usually that's extremely important because everybody's got some injuries and got some people beat up and just need to stay the course.
And, Gary, a quick follow-up. Yesterday, Bill Belichick joked about how with the length of J.J. Watt and some of your other defensive linemen, they might use brooms in practice to sort of simulate the length of how J.J. bats down passes. I'm curious, for you, what might you do to simulate the way the Patriots play offense, maybe the fast tempo, in terms of preparing your team for this game?
Well, you know what? That's something that we do all the time, regardless of who we're playing. We pick up the tempo of our practice, both offensively and defensively, and try to work as if, we're working on a much shorter clock all the time. I think it's good for our condition. It's good for, preparation, especially when you're playing a team like you guys or the Patriots. So it is something that's always part of our practice. And, they obviously play at a tremendous pace, and you better be ready to get your calls in and get ready to go. And like I said, it'll be a point of emphasis this week.
Just curious what your thoughts are on the running back position with regard, I guess, to kind of like value. I mean, I noticed you have a couple undrafted guys and a seventh-round pick, and it seems like the league is trending towards not taking those guys in the first round anymore.
Well, I was raised up under Mike there in Denver, and we were very fortunate. Heck, we get Terrell in the sixth round, ends up being a great player for us. We did step up, and I think we drafted Clinton Portis in the high in the second round a couple years down the road. I don't know that on draft day you ever have a specific way that you're going to build, but I do think that there are the college game's a little different nowadays. I mean, a lot of spread, a lot of throwing, and I think there are some dang good backs out there that kind of, very, very talented that may fit a little bit better sometimes coming to our league, and, it's our job to go find them. And, we've been fortunate with Arian, and we did draft Ben kind of high, but, I just think it historically here, especially over the last, maybe 10 years, there have been some hidden gems in the draft, at the running back position. And I don't know that I'm right saying it's because of, the way some of the college games being played, but it just seems like that's happening nowadays.
I was just looking at this as a sort of follow-up to that. Your team obviously relies on the running game and has a nice balance. Are there benefits to balance for the sake of doing it, or is it more just about, in the end, you're productive at both, and that's what makes it work?
Well, I think it's important that your team knows it can win in a lot of ways. I think if you're locked in, this is how we win, this is our only strength, I think those things catch up with you. So, I mean, we obviously would like to be a balanced football team. Everything we do kind of starts with us running the ball, but we've been caught in some shootouts where we have to go out there and throw it, 55, 60 times too. So I don't think you ever know what type of game you're going to get in, but I think it's important that your team has confidence they can win all kind of ways.
Gary, thanks for taking the time. I wanted to get your take on how much, if at all, this New England defense has changed with the recent acquisition of Aqib Talib. There's a belief that over the last two games that they've done a little bit more blitzing. I was wondering if you've seen that, and just to kind of comment on what they've done over the last particularly a couple of games with the Air Force, I believe.
I mean, first off, the biggest thing that jumps at you is how productive they are, you know, getting turnovers. I mean, you know, they make big plays defensively, and you know, I know if you come in there and turn the ball over, boy, you're going to have a very, very difficult chance of winning the football game. So that's a big point of emphasis. You know, I mean, Bill does such a great job. I mean, he's multiple defensively in what he does, and, you know, through my years and games we played with him, I mean, whether it's a 3-4, 4-3, or pressure, not pressure, you know what I mean? I mean, I think you got to stay concerned with yourself and how you do things, because you're going to have to be able to adjust throughout the course of the game. But and they do a great job with their personnel. They're always moving people around, you know, like I said, the biggest thing right now is our focus is we're going to have to protect the dang ball. I mean, it's just seems like everybody who's went in there has been turning it over, and we're going to have to find a way not to do that.
Good morning, Gary. Another defensive question for you. I wanted to ask you specifically about Vince Wilfork. He's once again logged a pretty high percentage of defensive snaps this year. I'm curious maybe what you see from Vince on tape, and kind of what's allowed him to be consistently productive in this league.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, you've been seeing it for years. I mean, very consistent in his play. Bill plays him all over the place, so, there's not like you're going to know where he's going to be. I mean, he's a little bit of everywhere, whether it's a nose, a three, or whatever he's playing. And, you know, he's a dominant force in there and has been his whole career. I tell you the thing that, you know, as a coach, just watching film, that I really love and respect about his game. He loves to play. I mean, he brings a lot of energy to his team. You can tell he's a leader when they need big plays. I mean, he's the one leading the way, and just have the utmost respect for him. And it's a big, big challenge for, you know, for us up front.
Just a quick follow up on Vince. I know you're surrounded by a lot of athletic defensive linemen on your team. I'm not sure that a lot of people would look at Vince and immediately say athletic, but is he maybe deceptively athletic for such a big man?
I think he's extremely athletic for such a big man. I mean, you watch some of the things he does, and heck, I just left a special teams meeting and watching him rush a punter. So, I mean, there's no telling, you know, how he's going to be involved in the game, but he's a huge factor week in and week out, and you know, like I said, he plays all over the place. So, I mean, all of our guys will probably go against him up front somehow, some way, because of the many places that he plays. But, you know, I mean, he's going to make plays, and, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know, they're not big, big plays. And like I said, he's found a way to call some big turnovers, too, along the way. So, you know, he's a huge factor every week for them. I mean, he's obviously a leader for them in what they do.
Morning, Coach. Obviously, with your guys' 11-1 start, you've kind of become the class of the AFC in terms of the standings, and some people are talking about this game as a measuring stick game for the Patriots, who are just behind you. I was wondering, though, if your team, given the Patriots' run of success for a long time and being the AFC champion last year, if you're looking at this as a measuring stick game for your own team as well.
You know, I really don't. I mean, every game, first off, every game is big here coming down the stretch. I mean, you know, we're in position just like the Patriots are, you know, to kind of control our own destiny moving forward. And, you know, you guys are locked up with division. We're in a battle here with the Colts. We're going to play in a lot of big games, and, you know, coming into New England, I mean, they, you know, obviously that's a big, big game, but, you know, we're really trying just to stay focused on our football, trying to improve. I mean, the key once you get there is how you're playing. It doesn't really matter who you play or where you play. You got to be playing good football when you get to the playoffs, and you know, I've learned that through my years. So, you know, we're really just trying to stay focused on us, trying to get some guys back healthy, and, you know, we know we'll have to play extremely well this weekend, but you know, we see every week and as a big game, and obviously in December they're all huge.
Gary, just J.J. Watt, obviously spoken a lot about him, but did you throughout the course of the season here? But did you have a sense when you drafted him that you were getting the type of player you were, and also a lot of did you also sense that other teams were onto him, or did you feel like you kind of were the only team that we're tracking, and a lot of people had him picked for the Patriots 2 years ago in the draft?
Well, first off, you know, we knew we were getting a high-effort player. I think everybody knows his story of how he came up through college. So you knew you were getting a kid that was, you know, very, very driven, I mean, very motivated to be successful. You know, he was a hell of a player in college. He seemed to make big plays, block kicks, knock down. You know, he did these same things he's doing here. I mean, he did them in college if you look, you know, when you looked at it. You know, I just, you know, he's been that and everything, you know, plus. I mean, I think this thing kind of started for him at the end of last year in the playoffs. He played exceptional. And it's that confidence has really carried over into this season. And, you know, he's a consistent guy. I mean, he's a real pro, and I think that's what all of us are looking for as coaches. I mean, he's not only very talented, but he brings a passion. He brings a consistency week in and week out to how he prepares and how he goes about his job. So, you know, we're very fortunate. I mean, we got a fine young man who's, you know, turned it into a great, great player. So that's, you know, hopefully it's for a long time.
Gary, I was curious if you could just elaborate on your thoughts on Rick Smith, and I'm sort of asking because I see a common thread between the Patriots and Texans, and that you've had your injuries like other teams, but it seems like the depth on the roster has helped sort of maybe soften the blow on some of those injuries, and it speaks to maybe some good personnel work.
Oh, no doubt. They've done a hell of a job, and you know, I think there's a lot of things that help you work through the trials and tribulations in this league. I mean, we lost eight key football players last year that were big time contributors to our team. So we knew from the start, replenishing our depth and the coaches being able to catch up young players in our systems would have a lot to do with our success this year. So, you know, I think it's something you're going to go through these days with the cap. You know, you're not going to be able to hang on to everybody, and you're going to have to do a good job of teaching in a very short period of time. And then also I think that, you know, teams learn how to play through, you know, learn how to gain, I guess, confidence that, hey, we can handle situations. Hey, we're down two players this week. These two guys are going to step in and they're going to play their ass off. Everybody else is going to pick up the slack. We're going to work through this. I think it's something you learn to do as an organization instead of finding reasons maybe why you're not successful. You keep plugging and find reasons why you're going to continue to be successful. So, you know, I think it's a frame of mind, and it's something that you got to work really hard at to develop within your organization.
And a quick follow-up on that, Jonathan Joseph being one player that, you know, you guys brought in, what has he brought to the team this year?
Well, I think I don't know that I could sit here and tell you enough about the acquisition of Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning to our team last year. It was huge. We got two great players, but two leaders. You know, D-Man had won in Chicago, been very successful in Chicago. He brought that to our locker room. J-Jo had been very successful in Cincinnati, Pro Bowl player, Pro Bowl worker. He brought that to our locker room because this is a very young team from the standpoint of the experience that some of our guys have from a you know, playoff standpoint, those type of things. So they were huge for us.
Gary, I just had a follow-up to the Watt question. Did you get a sense that other teams were on to him at draft time? Did you feel like you kind of had a hidden sleeper there? And specifically with the Patriots on the radar, because you did take him 10th, which was higher than most people had him projected for.
You know, guys, I'd be wrong to sit here and tell you about what was going on then and what, you know what I mean? I can't remember. You know, I just know we thought a lot of him, and obviously there were some damn good defensive players in that draft, you know, that, you know, Aldis Smith and, you know, some of these guys and Miller that have come out of that draft. But to remember whose radar he was on or what we were thinking, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't, you know, I have nothing to add on that.